These are the droids you're looking for.
Over here!
Death Star alert.
You're looking for.
This is madness.
It blew my mind when I read about it.
No, it's 100% going to be the best film in the franchise.
This is madness.
Star Wars is only now starting.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
These are the droids you're looking for.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You talking about
the droids I felt looking nauseous for. With just pure excitement.
These are the droids you're looking for.
Why isn't it December 15th already?
And then I saw the Porg for the first time speaking.
And I'll tell you what, it really whets the appetite.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. We've got a full house tonight with all of the droid heads here for you. Chris, Ryan, and Sam, and I am Mike, ready to talk about some of the latest news in the Star Wars universe, talk a little bit more about the fandom, but then get into the exciting news that's come out in the last week about some of the upcoming projects. But before we do, Sam, you did not get a chance to join us on the last podcast where we addressed some of the news surrounding Kelly Marie Tran, the ending of her Instagram, and the toxic parts of the Star Wars fandom. Let us know your thoughts on this real quickly before we get into some of the other topics, because obviously this has been a bit of a downer to be focused on some of these sides of the Star Wars fan base, but it is necessary to get all of our perspectives in here.
I think we should go back to shoving so-called real Star Wars fans in lockers. I mean, like, when did Star Wars fandom get, like, become the bullies in the scenario? No, I actually I think you guys did an awesome job. I really, really enjoyed listening to the pod last week, and I was really proud of the sort of the actual stance you guys took, because I think a lot of people in our position who are, you know, trying to talk to everybody who's a fan, trying to expand the, you know, listener base and you know, gain our own foothold and everything in a really, you know, big ecosystem of fans, like, are sort of trying to walk this middle line, and I just was really psyched that the Droids cast sort of stepped up and just said, you know, look, anything that's bullying, anything that's you know, racist or sexist or anything just has no place, and we don't want to hear from you. I guess as far as Kelly Marie Tran specifically, it's a huge bummer, and I think you guys kind of already covered that it's sort of unfair to celebrities that you know, they don't have the sort of same expectations of privacy and respect that everybody else is afforded, and people don't remember that that while they may be, you know, part of an anonymous mass of quote unquote fandom, on the other side is like a single human being who's an artist, who's sensitive, who's doing their best. So it was a bummer, because I do think that, you know, Kelly Marie Tran's whole approach to Star Wars was very cathartic, and was very much like feeling like, you know, any one of us had our foot in the door, so to speak, you know, just her enthusiasm. I will say, you know, something that, you know, whether it was rude comments drove her off Instagram, whether it, you know, whatever it was, if she's off and having a better time with, you know, life and her career and being a part of like this amazing, amazing thing she's a part of, then I'm ultimately happy for her. And frankly, you know, being on Instagram, I'm totally addicted to it, just like everybody else. It's not really worth it. So, you know, I hope she's enjoying that, you know, the real world. You know, I think one other thing I just would love to say is, like, I would love to, on another date, you know, I don't think it's something we really prepared today, but I would love to just devote an episode of this show to, like, talking about what we mean when we're talking about structural bias and racism and sexism and ableism, and why those things don't need, you know, hopefully, I think when people understand them on like a conceptual level and understand what people are talking about when they talk about these things, when they talk about white privilege and you know, institutional racism and things like that, when you understand the concepts, I don't think they're so incendiary, and I don't think people have to immediately get so defensive. And so maybe that's something like we can all just talk through, like what we mean when we talk about those things, and why, you know, why you can be, how you can be a beneficiary of racial privilege without being, you know, an all in racist, you know, and like that we're not trying to label you one thing or the other by calling out this sort of structural institutional thing that exists. And I would just urge anybody who, in the wake of all this stuff with Rose Tico and Kelly Marie Tran and everybody, you know, if you're a diehard fan of Star Wars and you're really vehemently and vocally opposed to the entire sort of Disney era under Kathleen Kennedy, I guess just really, really ask yourself why and be honest with it, you know? And, you know, if it's because you don't like the stories that are being told, if it's because you don't have fun with the movies and you want to debate, you know, whether they're good movies or not, that I'd love to talk about, because I think there's a debate there. I love these movies, and I find it very hard to believe that, you know, like how someone would think they're not good. But you know, if you find yourself kind of grasping at straws or finding reasons to explain why you don't like them, you know, maybe, you know, introspect a bit, you know, look at what the real reason is there. And, you know, hopefully if we have that discussion, it'll help answer that question.
Sam, I hope you're right that people can be introspective and consider that. It's beyond just the Star Wars fandom, as we talked about in the last podcast. It's
right.
All of us do, not even the people who feel that maybe we are more open-minded and more on the right side of history in our perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, part of it is analyzing your own actions and analyzing the way you treat people, and especially when you're on the internet. It's just there's so much more where some thought needs to be put in, and I hope that we can have that conversation you're talking about, Sam, and that I hope that, you know, we can all move forward and have better ways to approach this kind of stuff than the actions we've seen as of late.
Yeah, because I feel like in the scope of things, like Star Wars just scratches the surface at this, and it just kind of indicates how large the problem actually is.
One update on this is that John Boyega, as of this recording, has weighed in. And, you know, I think he was doing his best. And I'm going to kind of take the perspective of giving him a little bit of a generous reading on this, because he did tweet that if you don't like Star Wars or the characters and understand that they're he's kind of jumping around in this tweet, but if you don't like Star Wars or the characters, understand that there are decision makers, and harassing the actors and actresses will do nothing. You're not entitled to politeness when your approach is rude, even if you paid for a ticket. I appreciate what he's trying to say there. I don't think that he's directing some of the harassment and hate at the director or the production company or Lucasfilm or Kathleen Kennedy, but I can see, and I think, Sam, you mentioned it before the podcast, when you say understand that there are decision makers, it's almost shifting things that way, and you don't want to see that, because really no one should be harassed for creating a film that maybe you didn't like. Everybody's allowed to like and dislike their own things in entertainment and pop culture. It doesn't mean that you need to vehemently be angry and ugly and harassing to these people, whether it's the actors or the creators, the directors, the producers, the overall production company.
Well, I think that in hearing the tweet again, look, I think John Boyega took the right approach, and what he did was he stood up for a fellow actor. He took a stance against the toxic sort of segment of the fans, while also thanking the existing fans. And I do think in some ways that statement passes the buck a little bit, but, you know, hopefully, you know, that's what those people are there for. You know, as you move up the chain, you know, hopefully there's people who are in charge who are ultimately the people who are going to take responsibility and are willing to sort of, they've put themselves out there and are willing to like shoulder that responsibility and sort of defend that position. You know, again, it's not a position I feel should have to be defended, but it sadly it does. I think, you know, a lot of what I'm hearing is people you know, criticizing these newer movies, and particularly The Last Jedi, for its portrayal of Luke. And again, I worry it's such a dangerous thing to get too embattled, because look, if somebody genuinely didn't like that movie and they genuinely didn't like watching Luke in that movie, okay, fine, you know, but I think what it comes down to for a lot of fans, and it's a lot of fans of the original trilogy and the prequels, who are, they tend to be white male fans who basically, you know, they identify as Luke. They've always had him as sort of their avatar in this world, and they've wanted to be Luke. They've identified with him. They've wanted to be him. And so, you know, when he's handed a lightsaber in the beginning of this movie, that's the fulfillment of, you know, all these dreams. You know, this is me. They're handing me back the lightsaber. They're giving it back to me to go do my job. And he tosses it away, which is the film very firmly telling you this movie is not told from Luke's perspective. This is part of a trilogy that's told from Rey's perspective. It's now Rey's story, this trilogy arc that we're now in. And, you know, I think for some people, it you know, they're feeling, they felt an ownership, which really is kind of false ownership. It was never, I don't think, theirs, you know, but this idea, like, it's tough whenever you go like, oh, I can't believe my hero let me down. He didn't do what I would have done. If I was handed that lightsaber, I would have charged into battle against the First Order. And the whole movie is kind of about, like, not doing that. I think to say it's a, you know, it's not Luke, or to say that it's not the Luke we've seen before, is, we've talked about it on this podcast. You know, it's a fundamental misreading of the character. He's always been this way. He's always been doubtful. Yeah. He's always been, you know, someone who's got light and dark in him and fear in him.
It's a fundamental misreading of the information that we've actually been given.
Precisely.
About Luke. And I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I had that strange interaction with an older Star Wars fan where he said to me, you know, he didn't like The Last Jedi, and he said they got Luke Skywalker in a Star Wars movie and they messed it up. And it was very confusing to me, because I was like, of course they got Luke Skywalker. Also, like, I love Mark Hamill. Let's not act like he's, like, really hard to get in a Star Wars movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, this is his thing. He's obviously very into it. And, you know, seeing this kind of stuff, and I'm not accusing this particular person of, like, harassment on the internet or anything like that, and I certainly don't think that's the case. But it enlightened the, you know, over the last few months, that, like, this thought process of what people's personal idea of Luke specifically is supposed to be, but how these stories are supposed to present him, and how these stories are supposed to consider their feelings, you know, and, like, a lot of that, you know, aside from all of the sexism and racism, which is certainly very present, it's like, when that's not even present, when you're talking about, like a Batman Superman kind of situation, which is a movie I despise, but it comes down to an entitlement issue within fans as well, because, you know, when The Phantom Menace came out, that's when the internet was becoming very big, and it was, like, kind of the first phenomenon of internet fandom striking back against a movie. And, you know, before that, people only had each other to talk to. So if Batman Superman came out in 1992, you know, like, people would just talk to each other about how much they hated it. But now they feel entitled to go on the internet and yell at the people involved in it. I've obviously made fun of Ron Howard a lot on this podcast, but we're talking about movies. Like, we're doing it publicly. It's never dawned on me to, like, tweet at Ron Howard that I hate him.
You've never gone that extra step.
Yeah, because it's like, I don't hate him. You know, I'm sure
he's
a lovely man.
What a waste of energy.
Man. But it's like, there is an entitlement here where people are like, I have this opinion, and now I have access, quote unquote, access to the people who are creating these things, and therefore they need to hear it and respond to it, which is just ridiculous.
Well, and there's also, I mean, you make an excellent point that I think everybody should take to heart, which is the idea of, like, you don't need to tag these people. If you're not saying something nice, like, they are people, and it's hurtful to see mean things written about you, even if it's from a nobody or an anonymous person or whatever. But, you know, the other thing, though, is that, you know, this is for that later discussion I want to have. But let's remember that, you know, Ron Howard has grown up in a world where he has always been a person who's been expected to succeed and had every reason to believe he would succeed, and has has followed through on that promise and delivered on that promise. He's not the sort of person, you know, he probably doesn't care what you have to say about him on the internet, you know, and he doesn't need to, because of, and this is where we're talking about a certain type, that is a form of privilege. And I think that's, you know, that word is something people struggle with who, you know, don't fully, you know, aren't convinced of these sort of larger concepts of privilege, and, you know, but he's a privileged person in that sense, you know, in a way that, you know, an actor who is getting, you know, her first major role in one of the most massive franchises in history, and there is historic import put on her having that role as a representative of, like, her, you know, culture, heritage, like an entire group of people, of like non-white people, women, you know, like there's so much weight put on that. And, you know, she's half his age and everything. It's like, yeah, those things are going to affect you, and that's a lot of pressure. And when you see people in a very world that's very flattened by the internet and by social media, you know, every voice is just as loud as the other, you know, and for whatever reason, we've seen a mobilization in the last, you know, 3 years of, you know, people feeling more confident and more comfortable saying things that really just, like, we're not talking about, like, whether or not something's politically correct, PC or not. It's, they're, like, hateful and things that should not be okay to say. Like, I believe wholeheartedly in freedom of speech, absolutely, unequivocally. I think there are some things that, like, I feel okay telling somebody, you can't say that. And I don't mean legally. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? But you understand what I'm saying. Like, you can't say certain things because they're idiotic, wrong, and hateful. You know, that, you know, so it's like, yeah, that's who I'm talking to.
Like, there's a thing where it's like, you don't have to chalk everything up to a political stance. There is right and wrong in the world.
Right. Yeah. There's morality.
You know, racism and sexism is wrong. Like, it just is. There's no gray area there. There's no place for freedom of speech, like Sam said, like, yeah, you won't get arrested. Like, that's what freedom of speech means. Like, it doesn't mean that you won't get, that people won't go back at you at it. It doesn't mean you won't get fired. Like, it doesn't mean, it means that you won't get arrested. Okay. But, like, there is right and wrong. And, like, these things are wrong.
Guys, go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to say, as a true rebel force at the Droids, we are going to be rebelling against that at any opportunity we can. And these conversations may get a little uncomfortable, but I think it's important that we'll keep bringing it up.
And we may not always say it perfectly either. Like, we, I do want to say, no, I mean, like, we may misspeak, and, like, we, you know, obviously we feel that our hearts are in the right places, but also we may not always say it the perfect way. I may be speaking for myself. I may not always say it the perfect way.
No, I think we're all in agreement with you there, Ryan. And I think we would direct everyone, though, back to the last podcast. If you want more of this conversation, we talk more in depth about this. And even though we didn't have Sam last time, we got Sam to have your perspective in this podcast. But if you want to hear more about our takes on the fandom, about how, you know, things have been toxic, how things should change, the way that people, hopefully you would hope they could act in these different scenarios, that's in our last podcast. We'd also still love to hear from the listeners. If you want to send in your thoughts on all of this regarding fandom, as well as representation, as well as the way that we should be experiencing things in media, free speech, we'd love to hear all of it and share it here on the podcast. Send us an email, droidspod@gmail.com. Twitter.com/droidspod, Facebook droidspod. If you are so inclined and so kind, we would really appreciate a review on iTunes to let people know that you're enjoying this podcast. And if you could let some of your friends, other Star Wars fans, fans that, you know, we would call non-hateful fans, non-toxic fans who might be interested in a Star Wars podcast, let them know. The biggest thing you can do to help out our podcast, to help us keep going here, is to let more people know. Spread the word. Really, that's the best thing you can help with us, is just word of mouth is going to make a big difference for our podcast, and we would greatly appreciate it. Guys, as we move on, one of the big pieces of news in the last week is that there is going to be another Star Wars video game. This time, though, we are not going to be getting another Battlefront. Now, likely that series will continue. There are some add-ons for Star Wars Battlefront 2 that we will talk about. But there seems to be another single-player, first-person game in Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which was announced by EA as well as Respawn Entertainment at this past weekend for E3. Which means this game's still going to be about a year and a half away, but it is a game that will take place between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, and it is about a Padawan trying to avoid being hunted down by the Empire following the fall of the Jedi Order. That's all we really know at this point, but I'm on board because, as you know very well, I prefer a single-player campaign game than some open, massive, scale online player.
That is very cool. It's also just to, sorry, Chris, just to quickly give context, like within the video game world, what this is. So Respawn is a developer that made Titanfall and Titanfall 2, which are big, as you said, Mike, multiplayer kind of shooter games that are really well constructed and good games and like well played. Respawn is also a company that was made up of a bunch of devs that came from like the Call of Duty world. And I believe that they're the ones that were originally working on Star Wars 1331, I think it was called. EA originally acquired them to make that and then kind of killed that game. And like EA is a kind of a controversial company in general, especially with Battlefront, which we'll get into. But that's, so there's very little information about what this game is going to be. But I'm excited about the time period for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And you can hear more about that on Spawncast, Ryan's Respawn podcast that he has. We've got to just echo that. The time period that this takes place in is one of the kind of the unexplored bastions of the Star Wars universe. I think that by setting it up with the Padawan connection, we have a direct like connection to the prequels, following a young Padawan, so there's probably room for growth. He's gonna probably be leaderless, I'd have to assume, so maybe we're gonna see some kind of like pull towards light and dark. I'm guessing it's gonna be some kind of stealth based kind of action, or maybe similar to like Uncharted or Last of Us kind of thing. Not a lot of details to go off of, but I'm excited about it.
Do you think we will see a virtual rat tail on the Padawan?
That's going to be a large part of the game, actually, is how to grow and maintain your rat tail.
They have,
and all of the emotes are going to be, what are we going to do?
I believe I read they have a team of, it's something like 400 or 430 devs just working on rat tail physics right now. It's an enormous endeavor. It's great.
It's phenomenal what they can do with these games now.
Unbelievable. Can you believe that we were chasing dots around 30 years ago?
Okay. 30 years ago? 30 minutes ago.
Oh, no. Chris, drink some water.
Oh, sorry.
I'll just say the only addition I have is for about 5 years, more, 6 or 7 years, Chris and I lived together, and every one of those years, we would annoy the women we lived with by asking.
Quit bragging.
That we have.
You guys are always bragging about this.
The women we lived with platonically, that we would take over the TV for, you know, the 3 nights in a row of E3, and we would live stream the conference.
Yeah.
And I will just say that this news of a new sort of single player, because Mike, I'm right there with you. I'm not big on the multiplayer online experiences, and I'm also not big on like first person experiences. So the idea of like, you know, a third person sort of platformer action adventure game, that is like, that's my that's my sweet spot. That's my bread and butter.
And I gotta say, as a person who's not big on experiences in general, I'm still pretty excited about this one.
but Chris and I had this thing, which was that every E3 we said the way to win E3,
right,
is to just pull a Beyonce and announce a game and drop it immediately. And we had this before we had a name for it, because this was before Lemonade hit.
Yeah.
But the idea that
you just said Beyonce. We're gonna Beyonce this game.
Yeah.
I've never wanted that more. than with a game like this announcement. I'm like, why can't I have it now? Why couldn't you just make it available today? You would have destroyed any other developer for the rest of time. They would have had to have only announced games that were and download it now.
If you were secretly making a game, a Star Wars game at that,
which is unparalleled platformer experience, and you can download it now.
Sam, I think you misspoke, though, Sam. It's not pulling a Beyonce. It's pulling a Cloverfield Paradox.
Whoa.
That's right.
More famous one.
It's a true Mike, Cloverfield
I'm
Paradox.
I'm trying to reach general audiences. I'm not trying to talk further subset of the Star
ten
Wars
of
fans.
Ten
I've
of
always
us.
Said that Beyonce is First the Cloverfield off. Paradox of recording artists.
It wasn't the first battles, the new edition of Star Wars Battlefront, a little bit like that. They kind of dropped it out of nowhere, like that first trailer.
It was pretty quick after. They're closing the gap because every developer this year has kind of had at least one thing that they're like, you can download it right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but we're
like,
not
they're
quite
figuring
at the point,
out.
You know, where like Bethesda is like, Skyrim 2 available now.
Right.
You know, like it's not like that.
It is cool that like, you hadn't thought about like Star Wars games in so long that like now with these new movies, you think like, oh man, yeah, the technology is like really caught up to where they can start making some pretty cool looking things. Like we haven't had that probably for like a decade.
Yeah,
we
talked about Battlefront and that was like a fun experience.
Yeah, yeah. It was fine.
Did you guys?
But I'd love to see like, you know,
oh, there's
something
a,
that's not a
there
money
was,
grab.
There was a great Star Wars video game reference in Solo. They mentioned
I heard
the,
about this today. Yeah,
the fight style. I just thought of this. I meant to mention it after our Solo reaction because I love the shout out. But was it Terracassa? Is that the karate form in the or the martial arts form?
Right.
That's in
Star
Wars?
That old PlayStation game or something. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There was like an old. What a bizarre time in Star Wars that they made a Star Wars fighting game for PlayStation.
What a weird time in Star Wars that they reference it in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, right.
Did you guys ever play the
Terras
like
Kasi? That's what it is.
Terras Kasi. There it is.
Force Unleashed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I played
Sam.
Oh, gosh, I think it was like just a demo.
Yes.
And I remember thinking like. I don't know. I never followed through. I didn't play them personally, but I thought the demo was incredible, and that was exactly the type of game I want. And I'm imagining something like that, but then you know, set you know with current you know the current engine or whatever they're running, and putting you on you know clearly on the light side on the run against sort of the setting up of the Empire. Like that sounds. Is that what we think this is going to be?
That'd be great.
What that game became was a little different, but it was actually. Conceived to be the actual sequel to the original trilogy, no joke. That was the plan at Lucasfilm that the next like Star Wars story would be told through video games, and that was like the pitch.
Classic George.
Yeah, and so that storyline, which is I think one of the better. I remember at the time when I played through the first one, being like, "This is an actual good storyline." A for a video game and like B for sci-fi and Star Wars. Like it's pretty cool if you haven't played it. It's now just legend and mythos though.
I feel like mechanically, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here about like video games, but mechanically I still think that that a Star Wars game hasn't really hit that with like great story. Like just yet. Like I thought Force Unleashed was really good, but it was still like kind of simplified a little bit. Sure. And I think like with this kind of like current generation of consoles and like where we're at, I think that someone could really nail it. And I know that people talk about Knights of the Old Republic a lot.
Well, I was just going to bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great example, except mechanically it was like, it wasn't like a standard action game.
No.
Right.
It just had a great story.
Give me God of War with Jedis. Ooh. That's what I want.
Yeah.
But I do want to go back to KOTAR and say that I feel like I agree with you. It's not that straightforward action game, and it is a little bit slower because of all the time you have to take. But the decisions being made in a game, deciding whether or not you were on the light or the dark side, that is, to me, Star Wars. That's exactly what a Star Wars game should be.
Right.
Yeah, and that game was a little more complex that way than like The Force Unleashed was. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that was also... That was conceived as this giant RPG. I mean, BioWare made that, who does, like Dragon Age and Mass Effect and things like that. Yeah. And, you know, people have been calling for a new KOTOR for, like, since the minute KOTOR 2 was over. So maybe, you know, we also... There was so much controversy with Battlefront 2 last year because of loot boxes and stuff, and because EA is kind of like a garbage fire when it comes to that stuff. And, you know, they need, like, the Star Wars game to hit, and I think that it could, like, really break it open in terms of what developers and publishers are willing to put into it. But right now, it's still, you know, a lot of the stuff in the last decade or so has been cash grabs or, like, not hugely successful or, like, haven't broken through the zeitgeist. And I think that if they could get one that does, I think we could be in a really exciting time for, like, video games and Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, there, if anything's going to have the budget to do that, it's going to be a Star Wars game.
No joke.
If anything was ever made to be a video game, it was Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like, someone's going to crack the code the way, you know, I could liken this to the way, I mean, it took decades of bad video games before we got, Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. Mm-hmm. And that series of games and those guys at Rocksteady kind of came out of nowhere, and they cracked the code to making the Batman game that, like, seems so obvious, you know? I mean, it sounds dumb to say, like, oh, it's the Batman game where it makes you feel like you're Batman. Yeah. You know, and so the idea is, obviously, there's so much more that goes into making a good game and everything, but if they can nail down mechanics, if I can walk out of this feeling like I start as a Padawan and end as a Jedi and got to live that experience through a game with, you know, mediocre graphics to what will honestly probably be great graphics, mm-hmm. I mean, that's hugely exciting. And if they can nail that, if they can get that feeling down, I think it's going to be a huge game changer. And then we'll see those mechanics repeat in all the other things. You know, when they release, you know, the they should do, you know, they can do a flight simulator, they can do all these things. And, and you know,
that is,
once they start getting into that stuff, you know, we'll have different lines, different series that people will get into.
That's one thing I was surprised they didn't get more into, because I played the Star Wars, the VR experience that they had like a couple of years ago, and that thing was awesome. Like, I would definitely sit in that world for hours by
and
myself.
And you said you did, right?
And I did.
They had to treat you for bed sores, I remember.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'm doing it right now. I'm wearing it right now as we're doing the pod.
How much use would you say you're getting out of that PlayStation VR, Chris?
Oh, I'd say a lot, like maybe medium to good use.
well, that's generous.
Yeah, as in it's good to fill a drawer.
But I honestly think it's simple. If they can make you feel like you're actually wielding a lightsaber, then it's done. I mean, game over. That is everything. And well, it's not. It's just it's very impractical, because even if you in VR, you can't have your opponent actually interact with you the way you would want with a lightsaber. Which, to me, if somehow this Imagineering crew at Disney has figured out how to make lightsabers in real life work, which there's a patent out there for Galaxy's Edge, that you will be able to get a lightsaber the way that I believe individuals have been getting wands at the Harry Potter world. You have your wand chosen for you, and then you get yourself a lightsaber, and you would be able to use the lightsaber in the park to make things happen. That is, to me, the game changer.
And like Sam said, Star Wars is, like, made to be a video. Like, Jedi's literally level up. So if you're building, and, like, Respawn has mostly done shooters, and I don't know if they've confirmed if this is first person or third person, but if anyone out there is listening at EA, what I'm saying is this. It's an RPG. Jedi level up. Like, that's how it works. You get new abilities. You learn new abilities. And you mix that with, like, third-person combat within the last 6 or 7 years has been pretty much perfected in console gaming, with, like, Dark Souls specifically. Like, that really revolutionized it to the point that, like, it's really been nailed. Like, there's no reason that we don't have an awesome lightsaber, like, fighting game.
Yeah.
You know, like, to combine those two. Respawn, do it. Do it, Respawn. Just do it.
Right. And Respawn, if you're interested, you could listen to Ryan's Spawncast. It's a nightly podcast.
That, it has a listener of one.
It's but, each but here's the
a sleepy woman named Nicole who listens to me say, "Why won't they just do this? Why won't they just?" But she's a huge fan.
But here's the key. She gives great reviews. Now that we're talking to Respawn directly, I just the main note you should be taking away is the next time I hear about this game, I want it to be when you're releasing this game. I can't go through this. I want to hear about it, and then I want to go on my phone into my PlayStation app and then know that it's downloaded when
so
I get
home.
You
don't even want to be home.
Yeah.
Where are you when they call you?
I'm at work, and suddenly, you know, something hits the stomach. I gotta go.
You don't want 7 gameplay trailers leading up to you actually getting a chance to play it?
No, I'm over that.
All right. I think we got to move on to our final segment of this podcast, which is the feud. It's back.
Oh.
Chris.
Oh, boy.
Star Wars feud.
We are back.
Here we go.
We are back. Can I just say something before we play feud?
I'm sure Chris is ready.
What's that? In comparing the two Lukes from like the old trilogy and the new trilogy, when Luke comes back in Return of the Jedi, he falls in a hole. He gets tricked. He gets tricked and falls in a hole.
Not my Luke.
All right.
Also, I want to say Clone Wars is coming to Battlefront 2. They're doing Clone Wars stuff with General Grievous. I'm hoping that Dax is a playable character. Chris, the feud.
That would be amazing. And also some solo DLC. All right, here we go. Speaking
Castle
of solo.
Castle Run.
Speaking of solo, we surveyed 100 people to our listener audience. This is basically a terrible version of Family Feud. I'm going
to
say some stuff. People are, Yeah, let's get everybody's rings going. All right, Mike, make your ring sound.
You're
going
to need a nickname.
Sam. All right. And Ryan.
I don't have any people. I like that
this
line.
This is perfect. I love it.
Exclusively lines from the new newest movie.
This is great.
It's a solo
theme.
All right. Let's see if I can remember the simple three things. All right, here we go. We surveyed 100 people, and we asked them, what is a nickname for Han Solo?
You're going to need a nickname.
Oh, I heard Mike.
Scruffy looking nerf herder?
All right, let's ask. Hey, scruffy looking nerf herder is on the board. Ding! Number one, 37 points to Mike.
Hey!
I just realized I thought we were doing trivia.
This is the feud.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right. I get it now.
Is that your new. That's going to be your new bell sound. I thought we were doing trivia. Nobody else.
We have to keep going.
Sam,
it's Flyboy.
Oh, ding, ding, ding! Number three with 7 points.
I don't have any people.
Ryan,
my boogie.
Can we see my boogie?
What?
not a recognizable nickname for Solo.
What?
Sam.
Scoundrel?
Do we have Scoundrel? Bing! Number 6 with 3 points. There's only 6 of them, just FYI. There's 3 left.
I have a question. Yeah. I'll ring in.
Yeah. Sure. Yes, Sam. Thank you for officially ringing in.
Han?
Whoa. Do we have Han? Let's give Sam a hand for number 4. Han, 7 points.
Did I see any documentation that there was anything written beforehand?
We'll post a photo.
I'll post a photo with today's newspaper. All right, there's 2 more.
You're gonna need a nickname,
Mike.
Captain Solo,
or just yeah.
What?
We'll get it. It just says Solo. Okay. Number 2. That's 12 points.
Wait,
that's the number
his
2
nicknames,
spot.
His nick Han Solo's nicknames include Han and Solo.
Yeah.
Those are just names. That's not a nickname. Like if you guys called me Sam, I'm not like,
is,
oh, right, that's my nickname, which is
Sam,
also my first
name. I think
that
might be the 6th one.
No, there's one more here. And I don't think we're ever going to get this last one.
You're going to need
a
nickname
anachronistic for Star Wars. Mike?
I know it's not this, but Moof Milker?
No.
This was probably made before Force Awakens.
I don't have any people.
2000. Ryan.
Harrison Ford?
Do we have Harrison Ford?
Are you serious? That's all my grandpa calls him. He says, what about the Harrison Ford?
This is a weird one, and it's number 5, which is concerning.
Oh, I'm so curious. Oh, wait. Oh. All
right, one more guess, and we got to move on.
Can you tell us who said it?
I don't know who said it, to be honest.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if anyone said it.
All right, let us know. What is it?
All right, yeah.
It doesn't even make sense in the Star Wars universe. Are you ready? Number 5, Cowboy.
I think that Leia calls
Wouldn't it
him.
Be Flyboy?
I think that Leia calls him Flyboy. Cowboy.
No, Flyboy was one.
Flyboy was one of them.
I think Leia does call him Cowboy at some point.
I think
point.
We need tighter Cowboy. Criteria. A nickname? Now there were descriptors? There were real names?
Well, now specifically, I said Han with the pronunciation that Lando uses, which is a nickname because it's not.
Yeah. As we found out in Solo, A Star Wars Story, now in theaters.
All right.
If you want to go see a movie with two other people in the theater, go see Solo. Star Wars.
Hey, Ron Howard tweeted he wants you to go see it in the theater.
I'm sure he does.
You specifically, Ron.
Hey, Ron, you seem like a nice guy. I just want to say that. Ron Howard seems like a very nice man.
He and Clint can't fill all the theaters. They've been going to 3 or 4 showings a day.
Clint's been filling all the movies.
All right. Let's get another one going here, and then you know what? We're just gonna shout out things for this one. We're not gonna do the buzzer.
Is it because you're having trouble remembering our names?
Yes. all right.
Buckle up, baby.
Wait. Do we want to do? Well, let's do that. Let's do. All right. We'll do buzzer style again. Okay. Cause I remember your names.
You're a man of principle.
All right. Ready? This might be the dumbest one. It's not even a question. Name a Jedi.
You're gonna need a nickname.
We pulled 100 people and asked
I don't
them
have any
to
people.
Name a Jedi.
You're gonna need a nickname.
Mike.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Ooh, where do you think it lands on this list?
Number 2.
Number 4. Obi-Wan what? Kenobi.
I don't have any people. Yeah.
Ryan.
Mace Windu.
Where do you think it lands on the list?
Is that part of this too? Four.
Sorry, you're wrong. It's number 2.
Wait, so now I don't get it?
Sam.
No, wait. No, but
wait,
also,
it was
Ryan,
point
you,
this round.
No,
you
guessed.
It?
No points
guessed,
for Ryan.
You guessed number 4 after you knew 4 was already taken. So, like, yeah.
No,
that was a bad guess. Luke Skywalker.
What do you think he is on this list?
Number 1.
Number 3.
What? Oh, okay.
I don't have any people.
Yeah. Ooh. Ryan.
Yoda?
Yes. Where do you think he is?
Number 1.
Yay. There you go. 41 points to Ryan.
41.
And, all right. There's 2 more left.
You guys will notice that.
Wait, so now the other
now,
ones are
now
that
now listeners, will nickname. Listeners will notice that Mike. Points have now been introduced.
Mike.
Anakin Skywalker.
Not on the list.
What?
He was at one point.
Yeah. Wait, anybody else? There's 2 left.
You're going to need a nickname.
Mike.
This is not going to be an answer. Ahsoka.
Not on the list. Sam.
It's getting different each time I do it.
yeah, that must sound like a Jetson car.
Ray. No last name. Yet.
Oh, good one, but not on the list.
This game was made before The Force Awakens.
No, actually, it has Force Awakens things.
Oh, you're going to need a nickname.
Mike.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Ooh, course, there you go, number 5. 4 points to wait. Ryan's 41. Oh, wait, who got Yoda? Ryan? Yeah, you got 4 points.
Don't forget my 30.
Why did you just tell Mike where it was?
Huh?
You just told Mike where it was.
Because I'm getting tired of asking the question. All right, there's 1 more, and we're never going to guess this last one.
Why is there always one more that we're never going to guess?
We're never going to guess this last one.
No, I know, it's a Star Wars
guys,
podcast.
What's the guy with like the long tails for ears? Who's that guy? What's his name?
What?
From Clone Wars.
Like Jabba Nobada.
Like the guy with the
the big bone in his head?
The one who falls over in a very awkward manner in Attack of the Clones? Oh no,
just
Revenge
what,
of the Sith.
From the Clone Wars TV show, what are some of those Jedi names? I know we named Ahsoka, but like there's like some other like master Jedi that are in that a lot.
I don't think we're ever gonna
Therm
get this.
Scissor Punch?
Wow, Ryan, you got it. He's a Jedi.
Darth Sidious? Darth Plagueis the Wise?
I'm surprised those aren't on here. He's not a Jedi.
All right, what's the answer?
It is Shaak Ti. S-H-A-A-K space T-I.
I think I ordered dinner from there last night.
No, that's not a Jedi. That's all not right. A person anyone knows.
I think we've exhausted this
In case
segment.
Anyone was wondering, what are they going to do between movies?
Yeah.
This is it.
So,
no, funny you should mention
that. A year and a half, guys.
If anyone was keeping track, that leaves so Ryan has 41 points, Mike has 5 points. None of the other answers were awarded points.
Excuse me, 97
I seem to get the
first
question right.
We're
but
playing
then,
Who's Line Rules.
You know,
we're all winners.
Really,
that
you know,
is funny.
You score?
You
write in and tell us how you scored with your answers.
You mentioned, Ryan, what are we going to do with all the time? Well, it's funny you bring that up because starting on the Droid You're Looking For podcast, a Star Wars podcast.
What are we called again?
I don't know the title of the show. We are going to have a guest next week, our very first guest. It's Mr. Tim Barnes, a comedian from New York. He's going to be joining us, giving us some thoughts on Solo, and we'll kind of go through some Star Wars memories and how Star Wars has influenced his life. And so he'll be joining us next week for the show.
Chris, can I ask, did you vet him to make sure he's not a toxic fan? Please.
He
don't
is
make
not
him
a toxic fan. I can guarantee that.
Very excited to have Tim on the show. Tune in next week. We'll have a good time. And also, maybe he'll play the feud.
I hope he doesn't listen to this episode.
Because Chris only has 2 cards.
I'm out of questions.
Well, with
name
that.
A Jedi?
All out of questions for this edition of the podcast. That will do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Join us next time as we continue to fill time between now and episode 9.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.
Annie?